So today the scripture is Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. When I was talking to Dan earlier, I thought it was Judges. That would have been a different sermon. But it's Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the son of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.'"
Good morning. Happy 4th. Happy birthday, America. How funny would it have been if Chad would have read Judges chapter 4? And I'm not that smart, so I don't know what I would have done. I'd probably panic. So it's neat. We're in Joshua 4. We're celebrating the 4th of July. It's pretty cool. So let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for bringing us together. Lord, thank you for our country. Which is truly a land of milk and honey. And there's a lot of strife and a lot of craziness going on, and we see that because we're set apart. You gave us a different heart. So we see it, but at the same time, we see the blessings that you give us too. As Mallory described, a totally different place, totally different land than what we live in today. Many of us have already had one meal this morning, and we'll have another one. And then we'll have another one. And then tomorrow we will have multiple meals. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the grace in so many ways that you bestow upon us. Lord, Chad listed so many people this morning that we're praying for individually. I talked to Brian Day this morning. We continue to lift up Missy and Michael and Andre with everything that they're going on. They're not able to meet for Alex's funeral because of COVID concerns, Lord. So we just lift them up to you. We thank you for Bud and everything that's going on with healing him, Lord. We thank you for making him strong in order to endure the surgery. And we continue to lift up Lori and Pam and Ray and Frank. So many, Father, we lift them up to you. And we lift up the next generation to you, Lord. We lift up the babies and what a victory we had 2 weeks ago and how life is so important. And we lift up Kylie as she's getting ready for a C-section on Tuesday. And we thank you for Hannah Patterson and the twins being here and what a blessing that is. We continue to lift up the Ivanoviches, and we thank you for baby Kerr, Benjamin, so many babies that we thank you, and we know that they're a blessing from you, Lord, so we lift them up to you, and we thank you. We thank you for your word, what we're going to dig into right now. We thank you for Joshua and the leader that he was, but most importantly, we thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us at the cross, what he endured for us at the cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. We just ask that the Holy Spirit guides us this morning as we walk through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so welcome. Last week, I may or I may not have given you all the wrong impression. I'm not going to put a million golf balls in Pastor Jack's office or pink flamingos. And I did not put a for sale sign by owner at his house. Although that is funny. I don't care who you are. That is funny. So if I offended anybody, especially and including anybody with the last name Wilson. I apologize. But I got to say something. Some of you people are way more deviant than I am because you came up to me after the service and you brought up some things that I could be doing that were unlawful, way more offensive, and probably would have revoked our insurance at the same time. So I think today what we're going to do is we're gonna have communion. Today is a day of reverence. We're just going to focus on Joshua chapter 4. We're going to focus on the memorial stones, okay? And God is amazing. Mallory, thank you for today. Thank you for everything you said. And the way that God works, we're going to talk about how generations are impacted by what we do. And what you spoke of this morning, and you know, of your church family, how they impacted you when you were young. That was amazing, and that's all God. So praise God for all that. It's amazing. So enough of that. My wife, Jennifer, she grew up like a gypsy or an army brat. Her dad is a park ranger, so she moved a lot. She lived in California. She lived in Arizona, New Jersey, South Dakota. And where she lived, they were actual parks, national parks. So she lived within the park, and she saw some really neat things. And I can't remember these giant pig-like things that lived under her porch in Arizona, but they lived there. They were like wallabies or something. That's not what they were, but they were giant. That's Australia. I know. But anyways, she lived in basically what is the Redwood Forest. And when we went to visit friends of hers before Dylan was born, she showed me like the area that she lived in. And it's like the Redwood Forest. It's like she lived in the Redwood Forest. It was really cool. So I always imagined her dad being the park ranger, being like Yogi Bear and the park ranger. And that's not the case. What he did, it was really cool. What Chuck did was he was responsible for the plaques and researching and writing what went on the plaque. So when you walk up to like anywhere in the national park, it's like a tree, and you're like, here's the tree that George Washington fell out and broke his arm. Like, that's what Chuck, he wrote that. And the last thing that he did before he retired was the Mormon Trail. So he was responsible for the entire trail. So if you go out west and you see anything on the Mormon Trail or in Yosemite, anywhere around there, like, you'll probably see his work. And it's awesome because that work will last a long, long time for generations to come. They'll learn about the things that he researched, and his work will impact children, adults, for generations and generations. And that's what chapter 4 of Joshua is about. It's about monuments. It's about memorials that last throughout time, throughout generations. So last week, we walked through Joshua 3, and we walked through the Jordan River, right? So we walked through the Jordan with the second generation of Israelites that followed God. They followed the Ark of the Covenant. We talked about how they put their faith in God, because God said, follow me, I will lead you through onto dry land. We talked about how the priests were actually carrying the Ark, how they set up right in the middle of the Ark, and about 2 million people crossed over the river, and about 17 miles upstream is where God stopped the waters. And there was this giant pillar of water, heap of water that was going up to the sky as they all walked across. And what we're going to see here in chapter 4 is that Joshua set up some memorial stones. And when I was doing preparation for this, I saw a couple things, which were neat. I read a bunch of different commentaries on this, and there was some, confusion, disagreement. Some people believe that there was one memorial stones that were erected that Joshua put in the middle of the Jordan, and then that same group, they took off to another place. Other people believe that there were two, one in the middle and then off to another place. I believe that there were two. I'm going to walk you through why I believe that. But we're going to do a little different. I'm not going to dig into everything like we normally do. I'm going to highlight a bunch of stuff. So let's dig into Joshua chapter 4. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priests' feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up each of you a stone upon your shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean? Then you shall tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial service.'" Okay, so this is referenced back in chapter 3. We went over this a little bit in chapter 3, verse 12. So God does this really neat thing. He just kind of inserts things, and you kind of like, you'll glance over it. So in verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each man." And he sandwiched that in between all this instructions on how you're supposed to go over the Jordan. But he didn't expand on that. And that's pretty neat what he did, because what the Bible does from time to time is the Bible will take something in one chapter and kind of just high overview. And then in the next chapter, it'll detail it. Much like in Genesis. Genesis 1 is the creation. It's the creation of the world. It's the creation of everything. And Genesis 2 is a very detailed look at the creation of man. So this is much like that of what the Bible did in Genesis. So God says, pick 12 men, one from each tribe. And you think to yourself, why? Why is he picking 12 men? Why is God doing this? Why is God telling him to do that? Well, he's picking 12 men from each tribe of Israel. And who are these tribes? The tribes are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So God tells him to pick one of each, okay? Why did he do that? So let me ask you this question, to answer that question. What was Jacob's sin? Jacob in the Bible, what was his sin? What was his big sin? We see in Genesis 37, now Israel, who is Jacob, Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he was the son of old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Joseph's brothers hated him because of the sin of the father. So, you have Jacob. He has 12 sons. And he loved the one son more than the other. And it created division, created strife. So much strife that the brothers took Joseph and they wanted to get rid of him. They threw him in a pit. They pretty much basically just threw him away. And then what did they end up doing? They ended up selling him to slavery. And that's a whole other story for another time. But the problem was this. The problem that started that was Jacob favoring one son over the other. So what is God doing here when he says, grab one of each tribe? He's not showing any favoritism to anybody whatsoever. He's shown each of them is equal. And as I perform this giant miracle, as I do all the work, I want each of you to be involved in a way that you'll each remember this. So when you look at these 12 stones, you'll know that I did all the work, but each one of you were a part of this. And that's what he does for us today. As believers, as children of Christ, God has no favorites in his family, in his creation. He does that with us, and we see that in Scripture. He doesn't play any favorites. We see in John 3:16, we all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Who is that? It doesn't say only people that are tall, only people with blue eyes. It says that all who believe in him. John 1:12, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So all who call on him. 2 Corinthians 5:12, for our sake he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So again, there's no favoritism. There's no favoritism when it comes to the children of God. You know, even left-handed people, you guys are welcome, you know. So there is no favoritism. Spurgeon says this. Spurgeon says, we stand before God as if we were Christ, because Christ stood before God as if he were you. So there is no favoritism in Jesus, in Christ. So that's why he had the 12. That's why he picked 12. So you have these 12 guys, each from a tribe, and they each pick up a stone. Now, these would have not been little rocks. They would not have been pebbles. They would have been boulder-style stones, weighing at least 50 pounds. And you know the guy from Dan was carrying a heavier one than the rest of them. So they throw them up on their shoulder, and they carry them. They were to carry them across the dry riverbed, which is awesome. I don't know if you've ever tried to pick a stone or anything up out of mud. If you ever shoveled in mud, you'll know that when you put your shovel down and you try to yank it out, like the mud tries to hold it back. Like you're like in a tug-of-war battle. So if you're trying to pick up stones out of mud, it's not going to be easy. So God made that dry land, right? Dry land. You pick up these stones, throw them up on your shoulder, and you walk on your shoulder with this stone across. Now, flood stage, it was 100 feet across the Jordan at the time, and they were to pick these stones up near the ark. They were supposed to be around the ark. So they pick up these stones, they throw them on their shoulder, and they have 50 feet to walk from where the ark is to the bank. That's pretty far to walk with 50 pounds. I don't know if you've ever grabbed like a 50-pound bag of cement or dog food or whatnot, throw it on your shoulder. From the driveway to wherever you're taking it into your house, it's pretty heavy. But to carry that 50 feet and then to carry it to where they said, the place where you will lodge tonight, that place was called Gilgal. It was 6 to 7 miles away from where they were. So the first 50 pounds, 50 feet, and then 6 to 7 miles beyond that. So these guys, they poured everything they had. They carried it. And they used those 12 stones to make a memorial at Gilgal. So they took those 12, they make stones. So here's one of the reasons why I believe there were two memorials. So when you continue reading, I left off at verse 7. In verse 9, it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. Okay, so I told you that there are two schools of thought. One school is that they grabbed the 12 stones, they set them up, and then they took those 12 stones with them to Gilgal. Okay, so I would say that they grabbed those 12 stones and they took those 12 stones directly to Gilgal. And then, because it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the river that are still there to this day, to this day would have meant when this was being written by, you know, Joshua wrote the book, but he might not have written it down. So to this day would have been when the book was written down. It could have been verified throughout the generations, you know, that to this day it was still there to this day. So what I think happened in this is, like I said, you have that one group that grabbed a stone, walked it 50 feet, then walked it 6 to 7 miles. When the priests were getting ready to move the ark, they moved the ark, and then Joshua, not 12, it doesn't say that there were 12 people from the 12 tribes, it just says Joshua set up 12 stones. What I believe happened, and I could be wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong, what I believe happened is when they moved the ark, some other group of people, it might have just been one, it might have been 12, I don't know, but they set up another memorial right in the middle of the Jordan where the ark was there. And I believe that because it says they are there to this day, and I believe that because it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan where the place of the feet of the priests were. There's another reason I believe that I will get to later, but I believe that there are two. Why does God want these memorials built? What's the deal with the memorials? Like, why does he want them there? If you jump ahead to verse 21, you'll see why. You'll get the answer to that question. Verse 21, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Okay, so why did he want these built? Oh, he wanted them built as a memorial, built to remind everybody of what he did, built so everybody could see the accomplishment that he made. He wanted that memorial so people could see that slaves from Egypt, the less of these, the smallest of these, were able to cross the Red Sea and the Jordan. And the thing about the Jordan, it was during the flood stage, right? It wasn't when it was like easy to cross. It was at the flood stage. God chose it when it was at the flood stage. It would have shown people, it would have been shown how people put their faith in God. God said, you know, follow me, follow where I'm going. And the entire generation followed them. So it would have been a memorial to all the good things he did. It also would have been a reminder to Israel of their failures. So you have an entire generation. That first generation never made it to the promised land. Moses never made it to the promised land. Their beloved leader didn't make it to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. So they would have seen it in the good, obviously, all the good that God provided, and then the failures that they had. God wanted them to tell the generations. He said to them, tell them what I did. Tell them everything that I did. And he knew that those stones would ask questions, because that's what he did. He said, when they ask questions, tell them why they're there. Tell them why they're there. And that's the Graham moments. Remember we were talking last week about, like, you know, your Graham will tell you something. You're like, hey, that never happened. There's no way. And then it happens. You're like, wow, Graham was right. This is one of those Graham moments. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you the great and good cities that you did not build, and the houses full of the good things that you did not fill, the cisterns that you did not dig, and the vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. So he's setting them up. He's saying, look, we're going to put these things here. We're going to put these memorial stones up here. And when people ask you about them, you're going to tell them. Tell them everything that I did for you, all the great things. Tell them how you didn't have to do anything. You just walked in. I was with you. You didn't have to build the cities. You didn't have to do anything. And he's doing that out of love. He's doing that because God knows how easy it is for us to answer a question about God than it is for us to actually go up to somebody and talk to God. It's easy when somebody comes up to you and says to you, you know, why do you wear that cross around your neck? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? This is why. So why, if God told them to create memorials in their life, to remind him, to set them up, to be able to proclaim the glories, why are we not doing the same thing in our lives? Or are we? Or can we? Do we have an outward sign to the generation that's here now that we could be pouring into, that they can see how God, how us putting our faith in God has changed us, and how we have memorial stones, we have rocks, we have scars of our lives that we've followed, we've put our faith in Christ that we can share with them? Do we have memorial stones that will entice people or grab their attention to the point where they'll ask us questions about how God changed our lives? Do we do that? Do we have those? The Bible is a memorial stone. Knowing the Word of God is a memorial stone. Some people can speak Scripture like they've memorized the entire Bible, and it blows my mind. I can't imagine how people do that. God didn't make me that way. And that's a memorial stone. To be able to be speaking like that, some people can look at the Word of God and they can explain it to other people, and that's a gift from God too. But the Bible is a memorial stone. We should have this set out in our homes so when people walk into our house, they see it. They should know that. In our workspace, at our desk, there's nothing wrong with having a Bible on your desk. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Having a scripture at your desk. Jen sent me to the Aldi yesterday. In this kid that checked me out, he was very, very respectful. Looked me in the eyes the whole time. He had tattoos that started here that went all the way down, all the way fingernail polish and everything. I easily could have asked him a question about anything on him, and he would have gladly shared everything about that. I know he would have. That's his memorial stone. He could have set me up. Hey, what does this thing mean? He would have talked for hours about it. Are we doing that? Are we setting things like the Bible out so people can ask us questions? Our prayer life is a memorial stone. Whether it's a small prayer or a large prayer, Chad prayed for a long time today because we had a lot of people to pray for. That's a memorial stone to God. Are we missing out when we could be praying for other people? Okay, you're at work. You manage people. Somebody calls you and they say, hey, I can't come in today. My child is sick. The normal response to that is this. Hey, I know what it's like raising children. It's difficult. Your family comes first. Take time, be with your child. Maybe your child will feel better tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. That's normal. That's just an average. What if we treated it like this? Hey, I know being with your kid, having a child that's sick is difficult. I'm going to pray for your child that your child feels better, and I'm going to pray for you to give you strength to get through the day. And tomorrow, hopefully, you're feeling better. Your child's feeling better, and we'll see you tomorrow. How easy is that as opposed to anything? So make your prayer life a memorial stone. Men, we are horrible when it comes to, hey, how you doing? Good. That's what we do. Yeah, I don't know about you. Many a time, I am not doing good. I could easily say, hey, you know, things are weird right now. X happened. Can you please pray for this? Why don't we do that? Our prayer life should be a memorial stone. When it comes to the younger generation, Jen used to do this with the kids when they'd be at a red light and an ambulance would drive by. And they would take time to pray for whatever the thing was that was going on. They don't have a clue what's going on. They would take time to pray. And that's setting up Dylan and Reagan. Whether they do it now, I have no idea, and shame on me. And then that brings us to today. Today we're at Sunday. Sunday is a weekly memorial stone for the empty grave. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept talking until midnight. So Sunday, the day that we're here right now, is a memorial stone. It's a memorial stone to the empty tomb, to the resurrection of Christ, because the empty tomb changes everything, right? I mean, that's why we're here. It proves that Jesus is the Christ, proves that he's the Messiah, proves that he's God incarnate, proves that he's God. And he deserves to be treated like God. He deserves our undivided attention because he's worthy of the praise that we are to be giving him. And we come here and we're to treat it in the same manner that the Israelites treated the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, they weren't allowed near it. They had to treat it with reverence. They had to focus on it. And we're to do the same thing. We're to come here. We're to focus on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The blessing that we have is we're not arm's length away anymore. He's inside us. We don't have to be fearful. He's in us. We don't have to worry about that. And it's a memorial. And I'm preaching to myself again, because our kids need to witness this for that next generation. They need to be in this service. And again, I'm preaching to myself. It's the legacy that the apostles gave us, that the early church fathers gave us, that the reformers gave us, that the Puritans gave us, that Graham gave us, that Pap gave us, that Mom and Dad gave us. That's what we're supposed to do. This is a memorial to that. And we need to pass it on. And today's memorial is communion. And thank you, Becky Hummer. Teamwork. And God, okay? So Becky sends me this text 2 weeks ago. She's like, hey, I'm getting the music together. And I noticed something really interesting. I'm like, what's that, Becky? She's like, it's about memorial stones. And we're having communion. A memorial to what Christ did for us in our lives. I mean, that was awesome. Teamwork in God. It's all God. We give him all. So today we're going to partake in communion as a family. And it's a memorial to what Christ has done for us. It's a memorial to the bloody sacrifice that he made for us. And it's not just about the cross. It's about the walk to the cross. What he endured to get to the cross. He was willing to give himself up for us. So we don't have to go through the wrath that the Father is going to pour out on the people that aren't in him. That's what he did for us. And it's a time of reflection where we reflect what he did for us, right? We reflect of what he did to the journey to the cross and then where we are. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We know that. But God. But God had a miraculous plan for the Israelites, right? Led them through two bodies of water that could have wiped them out. Led them through everything. He had a miraculous plan to save everybody so he could have his son come into the world. And he does the same thing for us. So today we're going to take communion, and we're going to remember what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he did that for us. And again, it's a time of reflection. Because he emptied himself out for us. He left heaven to come down to be with us. And we're to reflect on that. And this is the "it is finished" memorial. It is finished. It is done. Everything is done. All of our sins were placed on him at the cross. Done. There's no work that we can do, done. So if you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Christ, I'm telling you that that's all you have to do. You have to repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus, and it is done. And then you're part of that memorial stone. Our lives are a memorial stone to him. We should be different than the world. We should act different than the world. And we should do that in a way that it asks, that the world asks questions, like, why are we the way we are? Why are we different? Okay, so I got to land the plane now. So the reason why I believe that there are two memorial stones is this. Last week, we looked at when they crossed over the Jordan. Okay, we looked at where the site of the crossing was so they could get to Jericho. And we said that the Ark of the Covenant sat in the middle of the river. This is why I believe that there's a set of stones, that there were two set of stones. In John chapter 1, 19 through 28, it's the testimony of John the Baptist. They were asking him, are you the Messiah? Are you Elisha? Are you a prophet? And he says, no. No, there's another one that I'm not even fit to tie his shoes. There's somebody that's even greater than I am. And John gives a little detail. He says that it's Bethany across the Jordan. That's where John was baptized, and that's where Jesus was baptized, in Bethany across from the Jordan. And you look in Luke 3, 1 through 22, long chapter, but it's where John is being, he's rebuking the Pharisees. He's calling them a brood of vipers, and he's saying, you claim that you have Abraham. So he's like, you have the law. You put all your faith in religion. But God would tell you, God is able to raise these stones, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. So he's saying that God, from these stones, he's pointing at stones, they're somewhere. And then when Jesus gets baptized, you see the Trinity, okay? So this blew my mind while I was getting ready today for studying. So again, site of Israel crossing. Oh my goodness, it's Bethany beyond the Jordan is where John the Baptist was baptizing people. And Jesus got baptized in the exact same spot. So you have where God saved all these people. He showed us the Trinity. It was a place where God the Father screams, this is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased. This is where Jesus got baptized. And this is where the Holy Spirit descended like a dove right on him. So in the exact same spot where the Lord was saving the Israelites, Jesus started his ministry to save us. He was walking them into the Holy Land, and Jesus is walking us into heaven in the same exact spot. There are no, you can't make this stuff up. But here's John's warning with all this that we went through today. John said, you have Abraham, okay? You're treating things like law as an idol. And we're to have these memorials in our lives, but they can't be idols in our lives. The Bible is awesome, but it can't be an idol. So when I can remember a Bible verse, that's God teaching me that. When I can decipher things, that's God showing me things. I can't. It's nothing that I've done. When I'm walking somebody through the gospel, that's God walking them through the gospel. That's not me. So we're to give God the glory, just like God says. These memorial stones are to show what I did, not what you did. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, you're our Father. You're our God. You are the creator and the sustainer. You provide everything that we need. Because you are all that we need. Your Son is all that we need. We come to you this morning. We come to you this morning with things on our plate, with heavy hearts. But we know that you are the healer of all things. For those that put their faith in you, Lord, you provided a plan. You provided a way. just as you did for the Israelites, Lord. And then you said, build a memorial so that the next generation knows, Lord. So help us. Help us be a memorial to the next generation. Help us guide them the way that you want. Teach us through your word. Mold us through your spirit so that we can be more like you, so that we can help those that don't know you, that we can be your hands and feet in America, the land of milk and honey, in Zimbabwe. Lord, we thank you for every blessing that you give us. And Jesus, we owe it all to you because you paid it all for us. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have like the traveling Wetzels up here right now. It's awesome. So I love that song. I had this conversation with my nephew once, and he was like, yeah, but Unc, can't we do this? Like, what about this? I'm like, isn't grace enough for you? Yeah, I guess it is. Because it is. Grace is enough. That's all we need is the grace of God, because that's what we need. We don't deserve it, but we need it. So here's the words of the benediction. It's taken from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless. Have a good day.